KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. Woo. We're here on Monday night to rock you out in the geekiest way as possible.
Yes.
Nearly rock the source. Geekiest way possible.
Yeah. I know we've got lots of competition. I think, like, Monday Night Football is on.
That's pretty geeky.
That is pretty geeky. Yeah. Fantasy football. Mm-hmm. It's getting pretty crazy out there with all the statistics and charts and graphs. It's almost like looking at an AD&D character
like
class sheet or something.
It's that except based on real life things, which is kind of a weird hybrid. But
you still have to roll a d20 to find out if your team gets the coin toss.
No, I don't think there's anything like that. I don't think
you could maybe have your own special league rules.
All right.
But
Yeah. Maybe I suppose you
that's
could
down
throw
to
in.
You.
Yeah.
You want to start a D20 final fantasy football league?
There you go. I like where that's going. That could be interesting.
It would be an interesting mashup right there.
Pick all the characters from all the Final Fantasies.
Right.
It's a broad range. Yeah. Some wacky worlds out there, some wacky characters. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Black Mage Throwdown, and can a Black Mage take out a Sephiroth?
Inquiring minds will have to know. That's your homework out there, audience. Put together a Final Fantasy
football
league.
Because that would be wicked awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't even count all the summons and stuff like that either.
That's true. Plus, I don't want to do any of that work. I'd rather you do it and present it on our page. Speaking of our page.
Yes. If you wish to give us your idea of what a Final Fantasy Football League would look like, or just want to tell us how cool you think the show is or something you would think we should talk about besides Final Fantasy Football, you can hit us up on Facebook. We are facebook.com/robotsattackshow. And you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is twitter.com/robotsattackme. It's all one word smashed together. And then email is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you want one place to find all things Robots Attack and how to interact with all of the aforementioned social media, you can go to robotsattack.me. That's where you go.
That's right. Nice and easy.
Simple.
Participate on the show.
That's
awesome. Dude. Yeah. You'd be one of us. Speaking of, you can continue chanting.
One of us. Slap.
Oh, man. That's very similar to one of my favorite lines in Space Dandy. But anyway, we have one of our favorite PSAs has returned.
Yes, it's back. Celebrate the great and almighty Gord at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 18th through 19th. It's 2 days of magical autumn splendor in the world pumpkin capital. Catch the Great Pumpkin Parade on Saturday, October 18th at 12 noon. Enjoy festive foods and drink, harvest-inspired crafts, and 3 stages of smashing entertainment. Delight in an expert pumpkin's carving and a bone-chilling haunted house. Tasting tasty pumpkin pie photos with the Grand Champion Mega Gourd Fun-Filled Contest and Monster Pumpkins galore.
Oh, yeah!
The Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 18th through 19th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on historic Main Street. Admission is free. For information, call 650-726-9652. That's 650-726-9652. Or visit MiramarEvents.com.
Yeah. Man, and don't let that, what was the name of that movie?
Birdemic.
Don't let that spoil you.
Yeah.
Or maybe that is a cool thing. You're like, hey, they filmed some of Birdemic there. Let's go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you could do that.
Hey, they filmed Birdemic there. Maybe we shouldn't check it out. Don't let it do that.
Right.
Check it out.
Yeah. Right.
It's a nice place to hang out. Yeah. Even if the movie was terrible.
It's true.
There's a great and almighty gourd.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And don't let the half in the name Half Moon Bay fool you. It's full on awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. There is no having of the awesome.
Right.
True. Speaking of things that are awesome.
What's that?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We've got the new releases coming out this week. What we like to do is grab a little handful. We sort of imagine like a giant bucket of new releases, and we each kind of dip our hands in, okay, here's the movies coming out this week in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I reach in and I pull out The Judge, Big City Lure, Hank Palmer, played by Robert Downey Jr., returns to his childhood home where his estranged father, the town's judge, played by Robert Duvall, is suspected of murder. He sets out to discover the truth and along the way reconnects with the family he walked away from years before. And it's also starring one of Jason's favorites, Vincent D'Onofrio.
D'Onofrio.
If you don't want to see a movie about a judge, but maybe you like vampires, Dracula Untold. Vampire mythology combines with the true history of Prince Vlad to tell the origin of Dracula. And if you're not interested in vampires or judges, but maybe you like Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. That's 11-year-old Alexander experiences the most terrible and horrible day of his young life, a day that begins with gum stuck in his hair, followed by one calamity after another. But when Alexander tells his upbeat family about the misadventures of his disastrous day, he finds little sympathy and begins to wonder if bad things only happen to him.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sadly, they do not, Alexander.
They happen to a lot of people.
Or maybe that's the good. I don't know.
You're not,
hey,
way, you're not alone
in all this horribleness. Get us out of here, Caleb.
Put gum in your hair.
Here's something happy. Things you can watch on your Blu-ray and DVDs, perhaps. And what's a happy thought? Adventure Time!
Woo!
Sounds adventurous.
The fourth season is out on Blu-ray and DVD. I would say more, but it's Adventure Time, and honestly, describing that show is difficult as it is. So it's fun. Check it out; it's worth your while. Let's see. Then there's The Million Dollar Arm, washed up baseball. What's the word? Recruiter is looking for the thing to save his career, and so he decides to gamble the big one and goes out to find the next big star, and then he goes to an unexpected source. He goes to India because he wants to. He thinks a cricket thrower might be the person to save and change the league of baseball.
That has potential.
Based on a true story.
Okay.
Loosely, but that's how most of these movies are.
True.
And with a radical change of gear, we have A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Well, but still a million in the title.
There is a million. That is a bridge. But some might feel it's a bridge
synergy.
Too far. The next film from comedian Seth MacFarlane. He wrote, directed, and is starring in it. And, it's a Seth MacFarlane. It's a movie designed by Seth MacFarlane. You kind of have to be into Seth MacFarlane's style of humor to like it. And
I think Liam Neeson is the bad guy.
Liam Neeson is playing the villain. Charlize Theron is also in it. She plays an attractive gunslinger that wanders into town and ends up befriending Seth MacFarlane.
Oh.
No.
That's the twist.
Right.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Experiencing friendship for the first time, Liam Neeson, who was the enemy, now becomes a friend.
We've got a certain set of skills.
Including flower arranging. No.
There was a lot of... So basically, you're going to watch it now that it has Charlize Theron in it.
No.
No.
Wow.
Moving on to...
I thought he was a fan.
I
guess not as much. Dang. Not enough.
Okay.
Not enough.
No, hey, it's okay. I'm not judging your decreased fandom.
Oh, yeah, he's not.
The
No
the
judging here.
Thank you, Randy.
Your therindom.
Let's see. There was a lot of... other wasn't as many new movies for some reason. I didn't see them in the list. So there's a lot of fun collections and things. And one of them is Bill and Ted's Excellent Double Feature.
Ooh,
nice.
Nice.
So there you go. You can time travel to the Old West. And depending on who you talk to, a more entertaining film than A Million Ways to Die in the West. But we won't. Having not seen it, I can't tell you for certain.
Oh, sacrilege.
Just burn after burn against that movie. Like... The deep hatred for this Million Ways to Die in the West.
I just have no love for it, I guess is the real thing. But yeah, Bill and Ted's is fun. Let's see what else was on there. Oh, yes. And we're going to round it out with a classic that is getting a new life remastered onto Blu-ray with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, okay.
So from Westerns to Westerns to time travel to Westerns.
To millions. $1 million arms to a million ways to die.
Right.
From maybe said $1 million arm. Who knows?
To $1 million lost in the desert somewhere, perhaps. I don't know.
There you go. Yeah. That's totally it. Okay. If you wish to interact with your entertainment experience, we have some releases for you. Perhaps a little bit of Skylanders Trap Team. I know you were probably really tired of having to collect all of the actual little figures. So they figured out a way around that.
Oh.
That now you can trap fictional things and put them into a little totem pole thing. So now you don't actually have to have a figure of something in order to use it.
Oh, so, okay. Interesting. I
mean, that's pretty handy, right?
Yeah.
Alien Isolation. It sounds like, unfortunately, it missed its mark in certain amounts, but it sounds like it's still worth at least the first 15 minutes of the experience. But from there, maybe decide whether you want another 16 hours of that first 15 minutes. Anyway, beyond that, we have Minecraft. Because there's not enough ways to get Minecraft.
Nope.
Now, if you're a PS4 person and you absolutely want that retail copy, you can go out and get your hands on a copy of Minecraft.
You can get your on
physical,
your own.
Physical.
Right.
Copy.
Okay, a little game that could called NBA, this time 2K15 is coming to absolutely everything except Nintendo consoles.
But
besides that, if you want something specifically for Microsoft products and or operating systems for the Xbox One and PC, comes finally the real version of Project Spark. If you were absolutely fiending for your copy of Final Fantasy 13 and all you had was a PC to play it, you finally got hooked up. You can play Final Fantasy 13 on your PC now.
Circular. We were talking about Final Fantasy earlier.
Right.
Man,
I actually still had it in my mind from this.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
You totally planned all of this. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Past that, more new to PC releases. Rise. You can finally get your Rise fix on PC.
With a Y.
Late in the week. And that's it. That's all you get.
Oh, man.
This
week. That's a nice little handful.
There's more stuff next week. There's a lot more stuff next
week. Yeah, it's just going to get more and more as it goes along.
I'm going to be talking for like 30 minutes next week.
Well, if you're while you wait for that with bated breath, maybe you'll want to check out some comics you want to put on your pull list, because the Comics Wednesday is coming up instead of being behind us like it has been in the past.
We're used to.
Yeah, like
with
we're
our
used
normal
to.
Thursday fries time slot.
Mm-hmm.
Or previous.
Previous. Yes.
Right.
Because
Monday is the new normal.
It is.
Monday's the new
we're
Monday.
We're starting people off right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
getting them through the week.
Correct. I mean, yeah.
So from in the world of comics, you might consider adding Batman number 35 to your pull list.
Which number?
35.
35.
What significance does that number have?
It's the next issue.
It's the one after 34 and the one right before 36.
Okay. I'm glad we established that.
The creative team that gave Batman a start may also be bringing about his downfall as the new story arc known as Endgame.
36 begins. Is too late.
Let's see. Over across town at Marvel, it's The Amazing Spider-Man number 7, where Spider-Man teams up with Ms. Marvel for a high-flying adventure, or in the case of Ms. Marvel, a high-stepping adventure.
Mm.
And there's also a preview of Edge of the Spider-Verse in this issue, in which we meet Spider-UK.
Whoa.
Spider-Uck?
No, hyphen UK.
Oh.
As in United Kingdom. Then at Dark Horse, it's Alien vs. Predator, Fire and Stone, number 1. After leaving LV-223 in their engine wake, the crew of Perseus finds themselves caught between the galaxy's greatest hunters and their choice prey.
Ooh.
Choice.
And then from Image, it's Witches with a Y, number 1. And it's this one is about the deeper, darker mystery behind the history of witches. And those, and the ones that were crusaded against may not have actually been the ones that should have been taken down in the first place.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh. Plot twist.
And over IDW, for a complete change of pace, it's My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, number 24. Which I think is a nice reminder that comics are not just capes and spandex.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more.
Which we're totally not hinting that has anything to do with the previous story about witches. Then.
No.
Has nothing to do with it, wink.
Nope.
Nothing at all.
It's friendship that's magic.
Right.
Not magic that's magic. Anyways, right. This one takes place. This one is a history of, let's see, Poneria? Anyway, the land of the ponies and they go back in time to experience the creatures that lived in the past.
Can
their magical leader actually get them back to where they're supposed to be?
Oh.
And that, there's still more.
But
our
wait.
Friends at Wow Cool also have some recommendations for us.
Nice. We always love hearing from those guys and gals.
Those folks, fine folks over there.
Yes, yeah. Those people.
The fantastic
Those human beings.
Yes.
Fantastic Bob Fingerman has a new collection of minimum wage. His new collection is called Minimum Wage, and it hits the shops this Wednesday, and it's from Image. So check it out as well. And they also mentioned that there is a show that is a tour of the cartoonists Hesselman DeForge and Patrick Kyle, and it's going to be in Oakland. I'll put up the link to that event, so you might be able to catch it still.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'm actually, since we're talking about comics, I'm interested in, I think there's a Harley Quinn annual that's coming out, that, and I'm completely serious on this.
Okay.
It's Scratch and Sniff.
I believe
it. That sounds really cool. Like I'm like, I might actually want to go and pick that up. Like,
that scares me on many levels.
And I heard that they had to change one of the smells because they couldn't ship it overseas.
Interesting.
They had to change it to grass. Smell of lawn.
There you go.
You can use your mind for other things.
Okay.
Speaking of things that you can use your mind with, but it's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And of course, pro tip.
If you want to find us on those services, search for KSCU. That is unique to our station. 103.3 FM is not unique to our station.
Right. No, get with it. Come
it
on.
It is not. All right, I will round out the new releases with some music. Everyone's favorite, where I get to butcher some names. Not on purpose, just because that's usually what happens. All right, number 1 is Johnny Marr the album Playland. It's the second full-length solo release for the Smiths' former guitarist, was written while he was on tour. Then we have a new album from Weezer, Everything Will Be Alright in the End. It's the ninth full-length studio release for the alternative rock quartet. Then we have an album from Ice Age, Plowing Into the Field of Love. Watch out, Sting. It's the third full-length studio release for the Danish punk band. It was produced by Nis Bisted. Probably there. Not right, but there you go. Then we have Flying Lotus with You're Dead. The fifth full-length studio release for the Los Angeles-based artist-slash-producer features guest appearances from Captain Murphy, Angel Derridorian, Kendrick Lamar, Nicki Randa, Snoop Dogg, and Thundercat. Not Thundercats, but just Thundercat.
Just a single.
Singular so Thundercat.
Maybe Lionel?
Maybe.
Or the maybe. Other people that I don't remember.
Non-specific Thundercat.
Yeah. Yeah, extra Thundercat in the background. Or her in the background.
Right.
And then finally we have the Vaselines with V for Vaselines. The third full-length studio release from the Scottish indie pop band was self-produced. All right. So that's going to do it for new releases.
Yes.
We're going to take a music break, and then we are going to come back with the news, of course. And we like to tease you with some of the news stories that we're going to talk about, just so you can keep you on the little edge of your seat there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're driving, maybe keep your whole rear end on your seat, because that'll be safer. But just do it metaphorically, theoretically.
Yes.
Stuff in your brain.
Yeah.
So, teases, speaking
of. Are there any teases? You want to tease us?
NASA may have found an alternative origin to the ocean of storms on the moon.
Oh, okay.
What?
I feel teased.
There's no oceans on the moon.
Oh, man. Trying to mess with us like that.
Yeah.
What there is there's more dread coming to us in video form.
Really?
What?
Yes.
Hopefully starring Sylvester Stallone, right? Oh, what,
you're
we'll
too
just
far
have to wait
to hit
see,
you.
Right?
Maybe. Yes, that's right. The new special edition of the original Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not coming out right now.
But we can make that happen. Kickstarter.
Right.
All right, let's get to
now
that.
Now with
music
two more
break.
Minutes of footage.
it's just the scene slowed down.
Right. Now they just tacked on that video of the right. I Am the Law.
It
like,
just stops right at that scene and turns.
All right, before we lose everyone who's listening, let's get to that music, and then we'll be back with more Robots Attack.
You totally can't tell that we do that to each other constantly.
Constantly. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. All righty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are now going into...
news.
That's right. We are in the news. Who has our first story?
I'll go ahead. Right. If you have been waiting for the sequel to Judge Dredd or the Dredd movie from 2012.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I've been waiting too for the Judge Dredd sequel. Also.
Probably not for that one. Most people probably aren't. But hey, if you are, hey, start up a fan petition thing and...
Who knows
get a whole bunch
happen.
Of people to request it, and maybe this could happen for you. Because for the Dredd movie that just came out in 2012.
Recently.
the producer of that movie actually ended up creating something pretty neat, it sounds like to me. As sort of a love letter to all of the people who signed petitions and campaigned furiously to get the Dredd sequel to happen, and has not happened yet, he has been secretly working on a 7-part miniseries focusing on dark judges. Unfortunately, it hasn't been confirmed that any of the original cast are returning to it. I'm guessing probably least of which Lena Headey, but
Yeah, probably without giving away anything. But yeah, probably. Well, I mean, maybe you never
maybe Wood Harris will come in. But anyway,
Well, I would be excited for more from that particular Dread universe. I think they did a really good job of getting the style of story
it's going to be the producer's own bootleg studio and released for free over the internet. So.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a question. Like, where are they planning on?
I don't think he can legally sell it. It's part of the thing. So
I think it's kind of like it sounds a little bit like that sort of like fan-made Punisher short film, Dirty Laundry. Or whatever that one was.
Yeah. Where they didn't.
They never said the name.
The Punisher.
They never. And he never wore the shirt.
No.
But you knew. You knew. This probably is sort of one of those things where it's like, yes, technically none of the stuff that gives it away is said, but when you know, you know.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of science fiction and the. And places you may not want to live, like Mega City 1, doesn't sound like a lot of fun. The moon is also rather arid and devoid of atmosphere. But that doesn't stop people from being fascinated by the surface of it and what it actually is and what it's about.
The last episode of Doctor Who dealt with the moon. Mm. For those who've watched it, you know what happened.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Pretty crazy.
Yes.
The moon stuff and craziness.
Moon stuff. Whoa. But seriously, NASA has been doing studies, a more thorough study of the moon, partly to determine and understand more about the effect of gravity upon rocky planets planetary bodies like the moon and the Earth and things like that. Not Rocky's body.
That's what I was saying. It's like, what? On Rocky? Hey, yo, NASA, what you doing? Why are you poking me with these needles here?
No, there was no freezers or slabs of meat were required for this study.
Mm. What are you calling him?
So anyways, they set up a program they call the Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, better known as GRAIL, which I was very tempted to say in a John Cleese, GRAIL!
There you go.
It's a good thing you didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The mission scientists have been sent out a pair of probes known as GRAIL A and GRAIL B, very uniquely named, but they sent them to orbit the polar ends of the moon to better understand the interior structure of it by studying the gravity waves and gravity fluctuations that were that they can detect from the moon itself.
Mm.
And because of this, they have come up with an interesting alternate theory about the origins
How many Rockies are on the moon?
A location known as the Oceanus Procellarium. My Latin is terrible, forgive me. Which translates into the Ocean of Storms. Now, there are no oceans and no storms on the moon, but they call this the Ocean of Storms because it has a collection of what looked to be an intense collection of meteorite impacts. And they thought that the one that made this big dark spot on the moon was one singular, amazing, deep impact. The GRAIL
Morgan Freeman, Tay Leone.
The scientists with the GRAIL data have speculated that actually it was more likely the result of tectonic shifting from a period of time when the surface of the moon was considerably more malleable and active. Are there
moonquakes?
Not anymore. The moon is now very stable, but when it was young and the Earth was young, it was still very hot and fluid, and there was...
Back when I was young.
The killer song, when you were young.
And they found that evidence of volcanic eruptions on the moon and the plains and fields and the gravity fluctuations indicate that movement. This area that's about 1,600 miles across
right.
was actually the result of a giant rift valley created by...
aliens.
Right.
Created by tectonic shifting as the moon began to cool and settle into a singular rock core.
Mm.
So
it sounds much bigger in real life than it is in Destiny. So,
well, you only get to go on part of the moon in Destiny.
That's true.
Yeah. It is your destiny to go to just part of the moon in Destiny. Speaking of destinies.
Right. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals and find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
So my story also involves NASA, but not the moon, Mars.
Ah, get yourself to Mars.
NASA is researching deep sleep tech for a mission to Mars. So last year, NASA provided funding to aeronautics research and consulting firm SpaceWorks to look into the viability of placing astronauts into stasis for the 180-day trip to Mars. As reported by Discovery, the group has now released some of those findings, developing possible technology to make the admittedly science fiction-sounding concept a reality. Pioneers of the Red Planet would be placed in torpor, or a kind of deep sleep associated with hypothermia.
Ooh.
Coolant is delivered through the nose, lowering the astronaut's body temperature by 1 degree Fahrenheit an hour. After about 6 hours, the body goes into a sleep state, only awoken when the coolant flow stops and body temperature returns to normal levels.
Huh.
Therapeutic torpor has been around in theory since the 1980s, and really since 2003 has been a staple for critical care trauma patients in hospitals, said SpaceWorks Enterprises aerospace engineer Mark Schaffer. But currently, patients are only induced for a period of up to 1 week. Further studies will need to extend this sleep period significantly. If you think this all sounds a bit too familiar, you're correct. Stasis sleeps are a recurring feature in science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, really?
Okay. Yeah, in movies.
Yeah.
Like Indiana Jones and...
right. You know. Oh, Last Crusade.
Yeah,
that,
remember
right.
when they were in the sleeping stasis field? And then, you know, yeah.
There was a grail, right?
Yes.
A grail?
Yeah. So what do you think?
Journey to Mars. That's kind of cool.
And just pour some
coolant
up
already,
your nose.
So.
All you got, yeah, just, you know... All you gotta do is just keep pouring the antifreeze and you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do that out there. Do not.
I am cringing so hard right now.
Very, very bad. But speaking of things that aren't bad, and you're like, oh man, I just caught the tail end of that story. I would love to maybe go back and read it or see pictures or maybe even watch a video when I'm not driving anymore. Caleb, how do they do that?
Well, if you want to catch up on the things we've been talking about or see more in-depth the stories that we've talked about, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. We post our links to our stories there as we go through them in the show. And at the end of the show, or a couple days later, we post audio from that we record from here and links to all the things that we have discussed and notes so you can catch up. And that is available at robotsattack.me.
That's right. So what's next?
What's next?
Yes.
I have a new way to use your DJ scratching skills.
Whoa.
Well, okay. It's not quite new, but a new version of this has come out, basically. Somebody named Jeremy Bell has created something called the Scrub Board. This has been done before, technically, but he's done it in a unique way, and that's that he has stretched a piece of old cassette tape perhaps mm-hmm. from like the soundtrack of, or from the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Anyway, he has stretched a piece of that tape across a board and marked it in such a way that he can tell where the different things, like points of the tape are.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken from portable Walkman the tiny little reader thing, and he's attached it to a pin-like element so he can effectively scratch cassette tapes.
Huh.
It, like I said, fair warning, it has been done before. What makes this different is the small size that he's pioneered
mm-hmm.
and that he's trying to make it into a future product that you can buy.
That would
yes. be an interesting way to resurface the cassette tape.
It's particularly interesting to me because it's kind of like vinyl in that scratching too much will destroy it, mm-hmm. but somehow you don't feel like you've destroyed anything near so bad or good
mm-hmm.
by mm-hmm. destroying some little piece of film from a cassette tape. So whereas an actual piece of vinyl you yeah. might have attachment to.
It's true. You know, depending on which mixtape you pull from, you might have an attachment to it, but that's a different issue. That'd be a pretty neat idea, though, to you know, take one more technology from years gone by and resurrect it, and then it'd be so funny, like see like Sony or whoever have to like start spinning up some of their old factories again because yeah. they like what people are buying tape? Are you kidding me? All right, here we go.
I will gladly admit that I bought like a stupid little cassette tape, or not bought. I downloaded a cassette tape simulator specifically for running my Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Ah, that's totally
complete
awesome.
With like the orange sticker and everything.
Oh, that's so cool.
Pretty, yeah. I was proud of myself.
And does it actually like have the tape on the reels? Like,
yeah,
does it change?
It shows it like actually scrolling, like cycling the tape.
And does it change depth as you move through the track?
That I do not know. Nah. I didn't get far enough. But what it also does is it puts your playlist that you're playing from on a little, it looks like the piece of paper that you like scribble
yes.
on the back.
Oh, that's totally awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty neat.
That's a tough one to follow. Well, how about this? If you've been watching the news lately, you may have noticed that there has been some rather loud public outcry going on in Hong Kong right now, as there's a feeling of tumult, this weird tension between the fact that Hong Kong is more or less democratic, but now they're part of China, which is not democratic,
right?
And there's questions about who's influencing who and what government will look like. Well, the protesters have, much like the Arab Spring, have taken to technology to assist in their organization and their and working with one another. And they have been particularly using...
The rebirth of a cassette tape.
Not quite.
No.
They've been using an interesting app called FireChat. It was developed to be
ominous.
The idea is that it relies on Bluetooth and or Wi-Fi on your device to work, and it doesn't connect to the internet. It's only people around your device serve.
Okay.
So it's like gathering around
like
a fire.
Chat.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's really cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And since there's no centralization, there's no internet body, there's no server somewhere to shut down.
It's a little bit safer.
It's a little bit safer for all of them to continue to share their information with each other and to kind of like get their message out to others without having to put their personal safety or the safety of their family and friends at risk. So I just thought that was a really interesting idea that they're doing that. And the creator of the app is just, you know, like most people that create software, that they develop it because that was a good idea for themselves, and then they're always surprised and fascinated by how it gets used out in the real world, is also duly impressed with what they have done.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we go from fire chatting to a dude that likes to fire his mouth off.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude would be Deadpool.
Ah.
And it looks like the Deadpool movie will be part of the shared X-Men universe.
No!
Wait, is
that a good thing or a bad?
X-Men Days of Future Past writer and producer Simon Kinberg has said the Deadpool movie is part of the shared X-Men universe. Last month we heard, and I believe Caleb reported, one of the stories that there would be a Deadpool movie.
Yes.
Given the go-ahead by 20th Century Fox. Now Kinberg has offered comicbook.com, man, Latino review slipping again.
I know.
An insight into how Deadpool ties into the X-Men universe. There's definitely a sort of overall plan that we've all been talking about for the X-Men universe now, and Deadpool obviously fits into that, Kinberg said. I guess I would say it's part of certainly an overall timeline and the thought process that goes into these films, some of which is inspired by the comics and some of which is inspired by seeing what Marvel's done with telling a larger tapestry and linking all those movies together, even as they stand independently as well. Same kind of thought is going to go into these X-Men movies at Fox. While Fox firmly have the film rights to Deadpool due to its X-Men-related comic book origins for quite a while, it seems the Deadpool solo movie might be its own entity with no acknowledgement of the events of the X-Men films. This, however, won't be the case, it seems, and Deadpool will exist in the same cinematic reality as Professor X, Magneto, Cerebro, Mystique, and Wolverine.
Magneto.
Mystique and Magneto. Is neato. In keeping with Deadpool's meta nature, an early version of the Deadpool movie script, including a winking, snarking reference to less than beloved version of the character that appeared in X-Men Origins Wolverine. We'll see if this is still the case when the film opens on February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day, 2016.
There you go.
So it's going to be part of the
X-Men
good or X-Men movies. I mean,
there you go.
Here's
if you
want
to look at it that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Very cool.
Since the last kind of X-Men movie sort of retconned, like, anything that you may have thought was bad in that universe, like, hey, we
hit the ejection button
too much. But.
You got to clear out the passenger seat so you can put the good stuff in the car, right? Hit the eject.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do with A Million Ways to Die. Don't be so negative.
We saw where you were going with that one.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of where you are right now, and maybe you are driving and you're going somewhere, but right now you're listening to KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, Robots Attack, right here, right now, in your ears.
Actually underground.
Yes.
And actually sound.
Yeah.
Coming out of your speakers because of radio waves.
It's true.
Right.
Because magic.
Unless you're perceiving us extra dimensionally.
Or through the internet.
Right.
Aliens.
Nevertheless, speakers are always involved. Anyway, you were saying
aliens.
Alien speakers.
Well, speaking of speakers.
Yeah.
Nice.
This comes from the realm of pure rumor, which is spoken.
And speculation.
Right. And speculative. But it has been kind of cross-confirmed by multiple rumorists.
So the rumors are confirmed by further rumors of
right,
rumors?
Maybe. People have heard things. And
it
doesn't. This doesn't sound completely far-fetched. It actually sounds very doable. And I'm seriously hoping for this because this sounds really cool.
Okay.
The X-Men universe is going to get a TV series, supposedly, and it's going to be based on Peter David's X-Factor. And the goal is to make it kind of a version of the X-Men universe, except with X-Men or with mutant characters dealing with kind of a fringe type world.
Mm-hmm.
So Mostly, I'm really psyched that the name Jamie Madrox has been thrown around quite a bit. Easily one of the best characters created in comics, in my view, and definitely makes the title X-Factor a much more interesting title.
For those who don't know who that is.
Right, that's Multiple Man. And I assume he's going to turn out better than his incarnation from X-Men 3.
That wouldn't be very difficult, but yes, I'm pretty sure he will.
Right.
I'm excited about that because I always thought the X-Factor story arc was actually really interesting because it was about sort of the mutants that were on the edge of mutantdom.
Like, right.
The X-Men are kind of core, you know, most of them sort of, you know, quote unquote fit in with normal society in terms of appearance. X-Factor didn't have that quite so much.
Right.
Like, yeah. They were all like off the wall, but they were more of them. They were like, yeah, you're not part of regular society in terms of appearance, are you?
Well, yeah, it was a nice like shift between the two sides too, because it's mm-hmm. people that definitely couldn't mask themselves along with people that have no problem and are arguably like really good at being human because they're very attractive and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has a lot of cool commentary as far as that. But what I'm hoping for is all of the stuff with the different copies of Madrox that end up kind of peppered throughout the world.
Yes.
That come back to tell him of their experiences. It's sort of, if you're familiar with how you eventually find out Naruto works with his cloning technique, yeah, Madrox kind of does that in a weird sort of way, and he just realizes that at hopefully this point.
I'm not super thrilled just because I'm kind of tired of all these music shows.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Me.
Yeah. But
that's terrible. That's the worst. That is the worst audition I've ever heard in my entire life. Get leave. Why did you even bother participating?
Right. Yeah.
Oh man.
There is, however, a dash more comic in this one, if you get my meaning, because there's a dash in the name. I hope that ends up meaning that they can actually use that name when they hopefully bring that to TV.
Oh yeah, since the it probably could, because that version of the title has been trademarked because Marvel is smart about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. Hopefully.
Yeah. Anyways, that was
you never know. They lawyers with their TV stuff. Ugh,
it's true.
With the things, you
mm-hmm.
never know.
It's true.
But there's a dash.
Very cool.
It's a cool dash.
It's a very cool dash. All right.
Whoa, what do you have there?
I'm going to round out with...
Don't scroll down.
I mentioned before that Stan Sakai has been... trying to... People have been wanting to help Stan Sakai and his family because currently his wife has a inoperable brain tumor, which is very tragic. And a while back, they were the Comic Arts Professional Society is a group that tries to help out comic artists that are in difficult financial trouble or just having, you know, like, as much as we like all love comics and comic movies make a lot of money, the comic artists themselves don't always make quite so much money.
At least not classically.
Yeah. And yeah. Stan Sakai is part of the group that didn't always make tons of cash. He's doing okay, but as far as I know, but medical expenses are never cheap, especially when they're, you know, for the situation that his wife finds themselves in.
Right.
So anyways, the CAPS Society, the CAPS group wanted to put together sort of a fund or a way to support one of the most awesome guys in the comics industry. And so they started you know, reaching out to artists to donate work to be auctioned off. I mentioned the auction before, and the auction went swimmingly.
They've
that's done really well for them. They also have taken the artwork, and they've, since a lot of it was from like really top notch talent like Adam Hughes and Frank Cho and Mike Mignola, they have.
Ooh, that one's nice.
Yeah, they've been they started. They figured, why not like release a book about that has the collected artwork of this?
Oh, okay.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and it's the book is happening, and the one of the coolest parts about it is that when they contacted Dark Horse about putting together this book, the Dark Horse guys, being this awesome stand up about this whole affair, have said that they would actually foot a lot of the printing costs and advertising costs and all the things, so that as much money from the book could go straight to the fund is going there. So that's totally awesome. And I also liked, and so that is just a really nice human interest story to kind of round out things. And since the comics is sort of my beat right now, I'd throw that in there.
Nice.
Human/rabbit interest.
Yeah, it's still cool.
Well, then I'll wrap us up with something super exciting that I'm sure everyone is just can't wait for.
I'm on the edge of my
seat. I'm nodding excitedly.
Yes.
About to fall out of my chair.
Well,
stop me.
Hold on to your butts, because Tetris is being turned into an epic sci-fi movie by the Mortal Kombat movie producer.
I'm not sure how to feel all of a sudden. You had me at Tetris the movie, and then
that's awesome.
Society's deep nostalgic love of Tetris is being harnessed for a movie.
Harnessed.
The producer of the first two Mortal Kombat movies and ensuing TV series and stage show hopes to transform the Tetris brand into a quote epic sci-fi story. Producer Larry Gazanoff, chairman of Threshold Entertainment, and executive producer Jimmy Inner are overseeing the film with the Tetris company. Quote, everyone knows that Tetris is one of the best known, most beloved brands in the world, Kazanoff said in a release. Doesn't know yet is this epic sci-fi story that we're going to tell. That's what's really exciting. Quote, we look forward to partnering with Threshold Entertainment to reimagine that common experience and bring a spectacular new Tetris universe to the big screen for the first time.
Wow.
In this new universe, as you'll soon find out, there's much more to Tetris than simply clearing lines.
Than meets the eye.
Oh, Kazanoff has experience executive producing movies for brands like Mortal Kombat and Lego. He and Threshold Entertainment were responsible for another brand-centric movie, the critically panned and commercially disastrous Food Fight! The exclamation point at the end.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
The animated movie featured mascots for Twinkie, Mr. Clean, Mrs. Butterworth, Starkist Tuna, Coca-Cola, and dozens of other brands coming to life after hours at a grocery store. Quote, brands are the new stars of Hollywood, Kazanoff told the Wall Street Journal. A director, cast, and release date for the Tetris movie were not announced. So
I can hear the Skrillex remix of of the song now.
So there you go. I know now I just like completely blew your mind, and you're just like, you're just so pumped and excited. And I'm sorry that's the way I had to
I
want to
see
news,
how
that
turns out, actually.
I
wouldn't say pumped,
but I'm
excited.
I never saw Battleship. But I hear that was pretty awesome. And so
that is
stinking
pile of something that needs to have been left alone.
So if they can turn Battleship into a movie, that was a board game. Tetris isn't a board game, it's a video game. But
let's make it a board game.
It probably is a board game.
I'm sure someone's made that.
So yeah,
you roll d20s to see which direction and
maybe
incarnation of the Tetris.
It's possible,
something like that.
You put
fall.
Like coolant in your nose, and then you fall asleep for a few days.
And that's just like watching Battleship.
Wow! All right. Well, that's going to do it for the news here on Robots Attack. We're going to take another music break, and then we're going to come back with Geek Talk, where we kick back, relax, and just talk about some stuff that we've done. I know it seems like
we apologize for all of Caleb's movie hatred. this time around.
That's true.
He's
that's,
normally that's... not like this. He genuinely loves the cinema.
Yeah,
I do.
Or find something good in just about everything.
Right, so, just about everything.
This is that.
He's admitted from time to time that he actually even likes me. I mean, so yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you'll want to stick around for Geek Talk because that's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not going to be that. But all right, we're going to take that music break and we'll come back with actual real Geek Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have more Robots Attack. All right. You know what? Tell them one more time since we wrapped up the news and maybe they missed all the stories, but it's not too late to go back and check them out. Or
That's right. It's not too late to check in with us and check out our stories. If you go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow and or go to twitter.com/robotsattackme, both of those pages are open right now. We are watching them. If you hit us up, we will give you a shout out to.
Yes, just like the fine folks at Wow Cool Comics.
Just like Wow Cool.
They tweet us. We give a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
It's good times.
Yes.
Do you wish for us to shout at you? Then you should do this.
Woo!
All right, let's get to some music. We'll be back right after some music. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
This is just around the corner, and the Golden Girls, the Christmas episodes, will be returning to San Francisco for 12 performances only. The shows will take place December 4th through 21st, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Victoria Theater in San Francisco. To make opening night, Thursday, December 4th, more festive, we are inviting audience members to attend the show wearing Christmas t-shirts or Christmas sweaters, not t-shirts. Don't wear t-shirts, wear Christmas sweaters. Opening night is also a benefit for CyberSmile, a nonprofit organization committed to tackling all forms of online bullying and hate campaigns. For more information and tickets, visit www.trannyshack.com.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are on Geek Talk. This is where we kick back, relax, talk about some topics, some things we've done, some things we've seen, played, just whatever.
Listen to. Whatever.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A chance to just relax.
Kind of glared at a little bit.
Yeah.
Potentially.
You know, because we just unloaded a whole bunch of news into your brain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now we just let you digest that. And
Just
let you listen to us just kind of ramble on.
Soothe your soul.
Yes.
I'm going to kick it off with something that I've been following a couple of really cool things on Twitter, particularly two astronauts. I followed NASA just because space is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned
you
that...
You did a NASA story earlier.
I did a NASA story earlier.
No.
They retweeted a picture from one of the astronauts that is currently on the International Space Station, whose name is Reed Wiseman, and his Twitter handle is astro_Reed. I'll be linking to that later.
Okay.
But him and actually Astro Alex, who is another astronaut that's up there also from Germany, they're both posting absolutely amazing photographs of the Earth and video of, you know, atmospheric atmospheric events as they circle the globe, and it's just stunningly beautiful photography. And plus, it's also just an interesting look into kind of life on the International Space Station.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's literally not like anything that we'll ever experience here on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine that.
But just seeing all of this stuff is just, it's just so interesting to kind of like
see the world without, you know, geographic lines, seeing it without, seeing how it really looks. And it's just, I've been geeking out about like that for like forever. And if you've been if you follow me on Twitter, like you'll see me like repost a lot of their photos because it's just so cool.
Okay, I think I've noticed on
so that's where that was.
Like a couple times I've checked on Facebook, there's been like a ton of pictures like from you of varying like stages of this like astronaut stuff. So that's what that was from.
Probably some of that stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've just been like, just totally enamored with this imagery of the Earth from about 20,000 miles up, and just so cool.
Yeah, it's always neat to see like really nice pictures, like really, you know, good quality of space. Or
And what's also fascinating to me is like there was one shot on in Astro Alex's feed of you, and you see here the lens that he has on his camera. And if you were to hold that lens on Earth, you'd need a tripod. But he's like holding it with one hand because he's in microgravity, cool. So it has no weight, and they can take nice, super steady pictures of the Earth. It's just like,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he can actually handhold that shot. That's so amazing.
Where's my tripod? I don't really need a tripod.
Right.
It's like, what? He doesn't need a tripod? That's so cool. On top of like, you know, being an astronaut and working in space and all the other cool things, he adds that on top of him. Just like, envious.
Doesn't need a tripod.
He doesn't need a tripod. How does he take that shot without a tripod?
He needs that t-shirt. I don't need a tripod. He doesn't need a tripod.
But yeah, they're just really cool. Lots of cool photography there of things that are cool to see from space.
So my question is sort of space related, as in space in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I guess it's still being based off of actual space.
In space.
So I don't know if it's just my mood lately or if it's the game, but I want to finish the story in Destiny, but I'm finding a hard time playing it.
Okay.
Like,
it's fair. You don't have to like it.
There's so many games coming out that, like, because right now I'm renting it from Gamefly. And so there's so many games coming out that, like, I don't know if I like it enough to hold on to it. But I did play a little bit more of the story. Actually, like, landed on Venus, and they had like some more cutscenes. They introduced a little more story, so it was like, oh, this is a little more interesting. So like, I want to finish the campaign, the story mode, but I'm not sure like if I want to play anymore after it, because it's weird. It's like, it's a fine game. It's fun, but I'm having a hard time. It's weird.
It totally sounds like a breakup or something. Like, no, you're great. You're okay. This isn't about you.
Well, it's weird. I'm having sort of the same thing with Diablo 3. Like, loved Diablo 1, loved Diablo 2. I really like Diablo 3. I'm just having like a hard time, like, just actually like playing it. Like, I like it. It's fun. I'll pick it up and I'll play a little bit of it, but then I just like, I have to stop. And like, I'm kind of having the same thing with Destiny. I'm just like, I'm having a hard time. Like,
it hasn't quite hooked you.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's weird. It's like, I don't think it's a bad game by any means. It's just, I don't know. They're just like, I mentioned with my mood, like there's other games that way more interested in that are coming out. So maybe I'm just like not.
Honestly, if you feel that way now, I'd say go ahead and swap it out and then maybe pick it up later when Destiny 2 comes out. Then that way you can have kind of the back-to-back experience of the story. Just because it sounds like the consensus is that the story isn't anything to really write home about. And it sounds a lot like the sort of genesis of the Halo universe. It's not that it was really the best story known to man or
particularly compelling. It was just something that allowed you to connect a line of events where you run around and shoot things. So it,
have
it,
you, have
it
you,
is building someplace.
Have you finished the
I have
story?
Not. Oh, no. Okay. I'm on Mars right now.
Okay, yeah, I just unlocked Mars.
Okay.
I've heard, I think there isn't a whole lot more after that. So that's why I'm like, I'm wondering if I'd be able to finish it in time.
Yeah, it's not, best I can, I've understood, it's around 20 hours of gameplay if you don't do all of the extra stuff, so.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, it's weird, it's like, it was going back, like, I looked on my list of, like, things I was, like, super excited for, you know, this year, when we did that, in the, you know, previous show a while back.
Right.
I'm running in the same thing with, like, Titanfall, like, great game. I just have lost, like, all interest in playing it. Like, there was no drive to, like, jump back in and play it. And, like, I'm finding the same thing with Destiny. I'm like, man, these were, like, super high on my list. Like, I'm really hoping number one, which was Dragon Age Inquisition, that doesn't happen to. I don't think it will, because that's, like, the one... That and, like, Fantasia, I'm, like, super pumped. Well, there's a lot more, actually. But, yeah, it's, like... I want to play that one like right now.
it seems like in general, the type of games that kind of hook you the best are the ones where it does have a more immersive storyline.
Yeah.
And so I can totally understand those two games not really hooking you in very well, just because they didn't really...
The narrative was not their focus.
They never claimed that was their focus.
Yeah.
Other people implied it heavily because they just assumed, like, oh, well, now it's an MMO, so it must have, like, a really amazing storyline. Bungie never said that.
Yeah. WoW is about the only one that's ever claimed to have, like, a larger overarching plot for their game, but that's only because Warcraft has a deeper history of storyline as well, so
yeah. Which is, and then on the flip side though, I'm like totally fine with, like, I jump in and play some Call of Duty, like,
I think part of that's all because, like, the Call of Duty games they cut their teeth on the multiplayer, and most of us got into it because of the multiplayer, so the fact that it doesn't have a narrative is sort of it's not what we played it for in the first place.
True.
So I suspect that some of the challenges that people are, or some of the complaints, for lack of a better phrase, some of the frustrations that people are finding with Destiny and some of these others is that the expectation of what the game was and what it actually is, just, you know, they didn't connect. So
yeah,
I was talking to actually one of the guys at work, found out he's a Destiny player.
Oh, okay.
And he was saying that, yeah, because apparently he's played other MMOs before, and he's like, this is the most MMO game that has been released for a console to date.
Mm.
So I'm sure that was kind of a bit of a culture shift for a lot of the gamers as well, because, like, oh, it's a shooter, so it's Call of Duty. No, it's nothing like Call of Duty. Okay, it's like Borderlands. Well, sort of. It's got bits of it, but
yeah. That's another one that's coming out.
Right. Next week.
Just way too many games. Yeah.
Too much. But yeah. So I suspect that it's just kind of like it's a culturally different game from almost everything else that has been available. So trying to figure out what it is and where it is, and also for itself, figuring out what it is and where it is with the players is kind of going to be a little bit of give and take in this first version, I suspect.
Yeah, it's completely cool if somebody doesn't dig a game.
Yeah.
And
it's a game, for crying out loud. Yeah. It's not a kidney.
Yeah, that's what kind of throws me out. And, like, the fervor that these things whip up in people, it's like, isn't it okay that I like the game? Because I think it's okay that you don't like the game. It's just, I don't think you've quite realized that your problem is that you just don't like the game.
For which, Joe, we salute you for being a big enough to admit, you know, it's just not grabbing me.
Right.
And that's
Thank
okay.
you for not being one of those people.
being big enough to admit, I don't like it. And that's okay.
Well, that's, I guess that's where I'm having sort of the hardest thing. It's like, I don't
dislike it.
Yeah. It's, right. it's, I mean, yeah, I wish there were more story stuff to it that kind of we mentioned, but like I still I'm not like hating my experience like playing it. I guess I don't know. I mean, it's been kind of talked to death, but yeah, I guess just I wish there was more of certain things that weren't there. So
yeah, and it, but as it goes forward, it may give you more of that. So yeah, we'll see. It's so new and it's so like the future is yet untold for most of this. So it's like we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it seems like it's ever evolving. They're always tweaking stuff to it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how they're going to make the transition to the next game, since I assume there's going to be something to do with trying to keep characters and so on, even though they haven't explicitly said that. I mean, it seems like this sort of thing, it would be kind of implied with it.
Yeah,
but, yeah, although Borderlands didn't do that, and it's done just fine.
That is true, yeah.
No. Yeah, I haven't heard anyone mention it. I'm sort of curious because it's also available on PS3 and 360. I've been wondering if because of that, it ended up limiting some of
I'm sure that was a part of a limitation.
Kind of wanted to put in or weren't able to do just because it had to appear on almost everything.
My notion is that it's just more about trying to keep a limited manageable scale for something that's the first outing on something. But I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Hard to say.
But speaking of things that aren't hard to say, hopefully, if you want to know all the latest and greatest happenings at KSU, you can stop by the KSU website. It's KSU.org. You can view the current DJ schedule to see when all your favorite KSU personalities are on the air. You can also view our weekly music charts and find information about local events, concerts, ticket giveaways, and other KSU promotions. Last but not least, our audio stream is up and running 24/7, so you and your friends in faraway places can listen to KSU online. Stop by KSU.org today. I probably didn't have to say the ..
Probably not. The ellipse is generally silent. With your reading of the PSA, remind me. So someone tweeted us from about our last PSA saying, having to wear your Christmas t-shirt because it's not cold enough to wear your Christmas sweater. Hashtag California problems.
It's true. That's used to be a hipster or rebel. Like,
yeah.
This is my Christmas t-shirt. Right. All you guys are wearing Christmas sweaters.
Irony.
Yeah. Pepsi Ruben beer.
Did you have anything to throw into the hat, Jason, as far as Geek Talk? Watch anything, see anything? Where are you in Destiny?
I just got to Venus recently. I got to the point where they actually do the next kind of big plot reveal where
you got to get the head.
Haven't gotten to not there yet. So maybe not the next really big plot reveal, but like the first point where they expand who and what the heroes are of the game and what that means. So
they reveal sort of the mystery character that was kind of lurking about
On the moon.
Okay.
Yeah, I meet that character. So, which was pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to actually jumping back into that some more and finding out what else is going on in there. Because, I find the journey through the game of Destiny is 90% of the joy for me, because it's just interesting, like going through the world, because it's one of the most amazingly designed worlds I've seen in quite some time. And I mean, all the planets, like all the environments feel like they really sat down and thought through how they wanted these things to look, and they all feel very complete and unique, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, I'm realizing maybe something right now for the first time. I think part of the kind of problem that people have with a game is that it's very British.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, just very BBC, okay. Yeah.
Right, because it's very dry in its sense of humor. Like, all of the Peter Dinklage stuff, I can understand people wanting more from his performance.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's... If you had a little British robot running around with you, that's how that robot would respond to those things.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was an American robot, it probably would have slightly different things to say.
Mm-hmm. It might sound a little bit more like Claptrap.
Right. And it would probably show a little bit more personality, but it's a British robot.
Are you saying the Traveler is British?
Not necessarily, but the speaker is British, and the master of the crucible is British. There's a lot of British. And I don't know if they set out for that. And Bungie was like, I want the most British sci-fi shooter that I can figure out how to make. I don't know if that was a blueprint or not.
Yeah, I wonder, because now that you mention it, like, certain elements of Destiny remind me of the old British TV show Blake's Seven.
Okay.
Which was where interesting things happen, but to call it an adventure show would be
right.
Would be a stretch, even though it was a space adventure.
Okay, yeah, okay. You got me excited, because I think you completely understand what I'm talking about now. Because, yeah, it is technically an adventure, but it's not exciting. And that's not what they're trying for at all.
It's not an Indiana Jones adventure.
Right. It's a not exciting adventure.
It's, wow.
But it's engrossing somehow, if you don't mind British.
It's a strange sell.
Put that on the box. A not exciting adventure. It's Destiny.
But no, it completely explains why people are not clicking with it to me. Maybe not you, but I mean... Because, like, there's a little scene after what in the part that you're talking about right there, where the Dinklage bot, his reaction to the entire, like, what just happened is, like, the perfect reaction for that robot, and it's hilarious to me, but it's not, like, a giant comedy routine or anything like that, or crying tears of sorrow or anything like that. It's just a glare from a little floaty eyeball.
Yeah.
But it's perfect.
There you go. So that's a possible insight into
the non-exciting adventure.
Right.
The engrossing but not necessarily exciting adventures.
You would never call it exciting. You would not. You don't do that to this game.
Although the battles are pretty pitched, but I guess in some ways it's sort of like reading a naval battle book. Most of it's about them traveling the seas, and then you get to the battle and you're like, oh my gosh! And
also very British.
True.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's analysis.
We figured it all out.
So there you go.
We apologize, Destiny, America, for the Britishness of your destiny.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy. And on that note, we'll take another music break and then come back with more Robots Attack.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're in the core. I got sort of, it kind of came to me, this question to pose.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you want me to throw out the tweet we got before we jump into the core, or not worry about that later?
Of course. Of course. Shout outs are always important on our show.
Well, we were discussing the Britishness or potential Britishness of Destiny, and someone brought up, one of our astute listeners brought up, if the robot would be more endearing if it was a cheekier British robot a la Wheatley from Portal 2.
Food for thought, folks. Get back to us on Facebook or Twitter with your thoughts as well. But now back to the core, which Joe was about to play on us.
So I had this idea. I think we've maybe even sort of talked about it in a roundabout way in previous show and whatnot, but I figured, well, it's been long enough, we can revisit and see. But I just was curious if, of all the fictional worlds and universes that we've discussed, read about, watched, played, Destiny is one was mentioned.
Exactly.
Are there any ones that you'd actually like to live in? If you had the ability, or I can even throw it out, like visit for a time. If you like, if you had the ability, like, okay,
like Gumby to move between worlds.
Sure, just like Gumby, maybe even the Gumby universe,
the Gumbiverse.
If there were any out there, and it could be novels, movies, comic book, just anything, any fictional universe out there. And so it got me thinking.
Right.
And I would definitely, for sure, Mass Effect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a world that would be awesome to check out.
Yeah. I could totally stand and hang out there for quite a while.
As long as you're in the safe places.
Yeah, but the shepherd's watching out for us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, it would be fun seeing whatever your chosen final outcome would be.
Also. Well, you're not... I don't mean you're like...
Best case scenario is what you're talking about, right?
Well, I don't mean like you are then like the role of the hero of whatever this universe is. It's just, which one would you want to live in? You're not... I don't mean like, okay, you're now Shepherd. Like, no, it's still you. You're just now like, you live... or visit the Mass Effect universe, and I think it would be cool to see all those different aliens and check out all the different
I would definitely go to the Citadel, because that would be just so cool. It's like, this place is amazing. It's huge!
Not Omega?
Omega.
The seedy sides of Omega? Come on.
I'd probably go there. That would be my choice.
Hang out with the Vorcha?
Always. Imagine going around
slums.
I think I'll chill on the Citadel with Garrus.
Why you got to put it that way? I mean,
hey, that could be.
They're living the high life.
It could be awesome.
But yeah, that would be a nice rich universe to visit.
I think so. It's got cool tech and just being able to explore the galaxy, different planets and aliens, and we're not like bickering over the things that we're bickering so much
right now.
Yeah.
Find
new things to bicker about.
Yeah, well, different issue.
Yeah, to me, you almost have to have like the ground rule that there's some level of safety in whatever place that you decide to investigate. And if there was, I'd probably go to like the Warhammer 40K universe.
Well, but see, that's not all right. A stipulation for you, but that's not part of the original question.
The question is
which fictional universe would you want to live in? I threw in visit just in case, you know, if it like
wanted to escape hatch.
you couldn't think of things that, well, okay, if you don't have to live there forever, but just visit. So like So yeah, if you want to visit 40K universe, that's cool. I'm sure
that'd be interesting.
There are probably some cool planets out there. You could check out the Tau. They seemed like nice folk.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But no, that would not be on my list. I would not want to live there.
In the grim dark future of where there is only war.
No, sorry, Caleb.
I'm gonna have to start with Narnia.
Okay,
it's a bit classic, I realize, but it's sort of like the
so okay question the like like
Land, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or
well, like the I guess like the Land of Narnia, or like the universe where it includes like the
which side of the wardrobe
real,
are you in?
Real world, like
the
because technically you can choose the real world because in that universe there's that
this is true.
I wish to have the ability to jaunt between World War One.
Yeah, I was thinking more the
just
more the Narnia side with the talking animals. Actually could like do a high five of sea sprite or something like that. You know, think that that's just living in a world where mythology and reality are not separated. It'd be really neat. Which is not unlike the Mass Effect universe in a lot of ways, just the less the less hard edged.
One has Omnigel, the other has
Aslan, which is an Omnigel. So talking animals. Let's put it. The other one is talking animals because they're everywhere.
Talking animals creep me out. I'm sorry.
What even Rocket?
To an extent.
All right,
a far lower extent.
So, like multiple talking, you can you can handle maybe one.
An entire realm of talking animals. Besides, that would mean that Rocket is less of an exception to the rule in that land, which makes me uncomfortable.
Ooh.
Right.
Okay.
So there.
So.
Animal man.
So now that you've had time to think.
No, this one's really difficult for me just because, none of the places that I've invested like so much of my thought into, you know, sort of the cool factor of different things about it are places that you would want to spend any large amount of time. And the closest thing that I can think of... kind of cheating here, looking through a site of different realms. It is actually, honestly, the Land of Ooh. If you're not familiar with that, that's the Adventure Time world. And I can imagine that being a fun place to actually just live.
Okay.
Because, there's less death and destruction. Although, hopefully, I don't end up being like a monster that ends up being like somebody that Finn has to fight or something like that. That would probably not be good.
Yeah.
Right. Although Finn usually also tries to find the good in people in most of the monsters as well. So it's not always about death and destruction of the monster.
Yeah, but he does have his learning moments. So
there will probably be some punching and kicking involved.
Right. I'm just hoping I don't end up being. A tale of learning for Finn. That's all.
Fair enough.
That's all I hope.
My next one, I would say Star Wars.
Another good, another very good choice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I got another one, but go ahead.
What's yours?
Okay. Dinotopia.
Ooh.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because to me, I never actually read any of the books. I was one of those guys that just went to the bookstore and looked at all of the images for it. So it might be the worst world known to man, but it always looked like...
It's a fairly Indiana Jones-y sort of world. Okay. So.
It looks very Topia-ish.
With dinosaurs.
Right.
Dinosaurs. It was
for those who are unfamiliar.
Right. Dinotopia is a topia.
Stop it.
Not quite a utopia, but.
Right. Not 100% a utopia.
No.
Right. It's just a topia of dinosaurs.
Now I have images of dinosaurs being placed into vases. Anyways. I wouldn't mind hanging out in Dinotopia. That'd be a pretty cool place too. Dang, that's a good one.
Shoot.
But yeah.
Yeah, basically just a realm where people and dinosaurs have lived together for so long that they're part of the fabric of their society. That's how they travel. It's how they end up, like they use them as tractors. Like every little thing that you can make a machine do, they have figured out how to ally themselves with a dinosaur that can do that for them.
It's a much prettier version of the Flintstones.
Yeah. That's what I was just thinking. It's like,
that's my next one. Like Flintstones.
The artwork's less considerably better.
Yeah. Right. Do you suppose
G.I.
that...
Joe?
Do you suppose the artist for that book series is ever just, like, completely tired of being told, and then, yeah, I love your Flintstone stories.
What?
Sigh.
Wilma. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're in the core. Mm-hmm. And I asked the question to the folks out there in Radioland and the gentlemen here, what sort of fictional worlds they would like to live in or visit. And it is interesting. It's like I was looking at it too, of like all the stuff that I like to watch or different things, like,
mm-hmm.
I love the show Supernatural. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to live like in that world, even though like the chance of probably running into the monsters they run into are probably pretty slim, but mm-hmm. I'm looking at all the stuff that like I enjoy and watch. Like, yeah, I don't think I'd want to live in that world. That's mm-hmm.
the uncertainty of possibly meeting a flesh-eating monster. Just not high on my list of things.
I mean, even you think like, oh, okay, what about like the Marvel universe or something, or mm-hmm. DC universe? It's like,
right?
Yeah, that. I mean, it,
well, the.
Cool, but so much like destruction and
right.
all the
constant,
like,
yeah.
And that and the worst part about that is that you don't even know half of the destructive things that even happened to you in the past because things keep getting reset.
It's true.
Like, you have probably died multiple times.
You just didn't know it.
Incredibly horrid world events.
Yeah.
That about half the time have something to do with enslaving either mutants or humanity by one side or the other.
Yeah. Another one that I was thinking is like, oh, you know, I really like Blade Runner, especially like the world, you know, the atmosphere and everything. But then I'm thinking like, I don't know if I'd want to live there because I was a dump. You know, all the people were moving off. World, like, and stuff, and it's like,
yeah, it would be interesting if somebody did more fiction about like the off world side of that realm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could end up being more of a utopia, not a topiary,
not a topiary made of dinosaurs.
Did you have any others? Okay,
another one that is a place that I've always wanted, I thought would be totally awesome to visit and hang out in for an extended period of time, the Star Trek universe. It's not unlike...
I was wondering if anyone was going to throw out Star Trek.
I mean, almost all the sci-fi ones are going to sound a little bit similar, but like Star Trek one, like, I... Like, the joy of exploration, the technology that is designed around helping humanity expand our understanding of the universe is just all these things that I hold dear to myself, I think would be a totally awesome place to actually like experience. Like it is happening now. True. I'd also would like to see kind of like the fulfillment of some of these dreams that are happening right now.
Yeah. And you know, they've sort of gotten rid of a lot of the hatreds and stuff that
mm-hmm.
we still experience in our society.
Indeed.
So,
One of our listeners is chiming in with the universe they would like to visit and live in. The realm of Roger Rabbit. Who from Roger Rabbit? Okay. Where you have real life cartoons. That would be kind of awesome.
That's on this list right here. Toontown is
Toontown,
in here.
Toontown, yeah.
That ranks number 49 on the popularity of,
of realms.
The votes of realms.
Very cool, yeah.
According to this site.
That would be. I think that'd be interesting to meet Toontown.
Yeah, so I'll pose one last one.
Okay. Okay.
Same question, but you have to pick an anime.
Flowing through the back of my mind. I'm like, where would I want to hang out in anime land?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
That one particularly hurts because none of these on this list that I'm cheating with are anime ones.
I'm tempted to join the Ranma one half realm of the world.
Okay.
Okay.
Partly because
it's
one, almost everyone there seems to be enjoying themselves. It's not a vast departure from the real world, but the people that are in it. Like the fact that there is an aura of magic around a lot of objects and places and things that could make the world more interesting and or not interesting, you know, depending on how you slice your life. Plus, it was one of the first that like I sucked me into the characters and to the world and to the understanding of the idea of anime as a place where almost anything can happen. It was just like. The madcap wonder of that was it'd be kind of like going to Toontown, I guess, in some ways, because it's just like the place is just an open canvas. You just get to enjoy the ride of, well, there went a giant panda chasing a purple cat and a duck with glasses.
Yeah. You don't see that every day, except for here.
Welcome to the wonderful world of Enemy Land.
Yeah. Jason, still thinking.
This one is, this one's really tough for me.
So, it's tough. To me, it'd be between Cowboy Bebop.
That was because one I thought of also.
It's not super duper different from us, but we still get to explore space. Still got some advanced tech and stuff like that. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But something sort of on a flip side is the series I've been watching called Fairy Tale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And everyone in that, like, there's magic guilds. Mm-hmm. And so I'd pick that one if I could use magic.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Because that one, while it looks insane, and it reminds me a lot of, like, One Piece, you know, maybe those two would almost be sort of the same, like, that is an insane world to be in, but, man, if you had one of those cool powers...
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be a lot of fun. And so, I'd be like, if I had some magic power, it'd be fun to join one of these guilds and just do, like, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Fairy Tale was actually created by the student of the creator of One Piece.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense because it's very...
Yeah.
It's very, very similar in style. I'd probably pick one of those 2/3, I guess.
Yeah, another one that Jason's considering one of the other ones that sprung to my mind that would I'd like to hang out in and be Robotech, just because Macross. That's the actual Japanese version. Because all of the awesome mechs and stuff like that was like, just fun.
Yeah. This is one of those that I feel just kind of fits me. It doesn't necessarily, it's not like a happy place or anything like that, but there's
Death Note.
No. Yeah, I'm not a Death Noter at all, unfortunately. I'm sorry for everybody out there who loves Death Note. That's your own thing. You should be proud of that. That's not me.
Fair enough.
But I...
High School of the Dead.
Actually, kind of. Now that you mention it, I'd totally be the geeky kid, like making things out of staplers and so on. Anyway, I was actually gonna say Last Exile.
Okay.
Just because it's to me, it's such a cool realm as far as like the type of technology and how it has that sort of 20s classic twist to it without being annoyingly so, like Legend of Korra kind of pushes a little bit too far in my book.
A little bit too deco, but you're...
Right. It's like, it's all of the super stylish, slick style of deco instead of trying to, like, really force it into, like, some sort of Chinese oil painting of deco or something like that.
Okay.
And, yeah. But
not a happy place, but it does have a lot of the fantastical elements. There are technically elves of a sort.
The guild, yes.
Right, and it ends up having, through the guild, a very heavy sci-fi element to it, even though, to me, it's more of a fantasy realm with, like, slightly higher tech than normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a curious blend of steampunk and high fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, and I like the foundation of all of their technology, how it's built on the... Anyway, yeah, I like how their engines run and so on. It's interesting to me. A close one that's sort of related in a weird way is like the first half of the series of Eureka 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the same idea, except farther along the tech line. So
the mechs are less slicker.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, I think we've thrown out of some interesting fictional universes to live in or visit.
I find it fascinating that the anime ones were so divergent. Like, none of us picked the same one, or realms that were astonishingly close together. It's like, huh. It just goes to show that anime is a much...
The power of anime.
Is a very broad spectrum.
Yeah. If you out there have any places you'd like to live or visit in a fictional universe, remember it could be movies, novels, video games, whatever, anime, all the things we've mentioned. We'd love to hear from you.
We would. And if you would like to contact us, you can do that at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or on Twitter, which is twitter.com/robotsattackme. And if you want to email us, that is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you're like, wait, all that stuff, can't write that down fast enough, just remember this. It's simple. robotsattack.me. robotsattack.me. That is where we post archives of our show. You can catch up if you're new to us. And you also have all the show notes and the button there that says interact. That will take you to links that will connect with all of our social media, so you can catch up with us that way as well.
That's right. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday from 7 to 9. Have a wonderful week and weekend. And take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Baradin. Misto.